All right, God is good all the time, right? All right, we're going to continue to look at the series on Secrets of the Kingdom. This is part two, and we started last week, and it's talking about the parable of the sower. You know how important it is, and Jesus said to understand things, you know, you have to have ears that hear, so you'll be able to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And, you know, sometimes we may have a little bit of difficulty understanding the Bible sometimes, maybe beginning in the beginning, you know, before we start to put two and two together, and we're going to look at that a little bit today. But the main thing that we're going to see today is we're going to be talking about a hardened heart, a hardened heart. And that is a very dangerous thing. And, you know, have you ever had a hardened heart, you know, in our life about certain things? See, a hardened heart is like being held in prison. It limits us from being able to process information properly. And it closes us off from being able to interact with the world around us in a productive way. And that's why God tells us to guard our heart for a reason. You know, it's so easy for us to give our heart away to things that are maybe not good for us. Things that maybe be destructive to our life. And that's why we need to be smart about it. And we need to be able to, you know, educate, you know, ourselves, as educate young people to let them know that how important it is, how our heart is, because everything flows from it. We're going to look at our starting off scripture found in Matthew 13, verses 3 to 9. It's Jesus talking here, and he's talking about the parable of the sower. And he was just speaking in code, I guess, in this part. It was kind of code a little bit. And it says in verse 3, it says, "And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell among the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Then he goes on to saying, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. I thank you for a stirring right now, Lord, in each of our hearts. The Lord, we want more of you. Lord, we know there's so much that we have yet to tap into, as far as the secrets of the kingdom and far as the deeper things of God. Lord, just take us out into that deep water. Help us to receive from you everything that you have for us. Lord, I thank you that, you know, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, Lord. We're here at this time for a reason. Lord, right now I yield to the gift you put inside of me and I use it for your glory. And I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So how important it is to be able to understand the parable of the sower. Matter of fact, Jesus said that if we don't understand this parable, it's going to be very difficult to understand the rest of the parables. So that's why we need to try to zoom in and tune in to be able to try to see what Jesus is saying here. As I mentioned earlier in service, you know, I have a couple of ears of corn here. Now, as a farm boy, I've seen a lot of corn in my day, shoveled a lot of corn in my day. And, you know, just counting this, these are small ears comparatively to what some of them could be. And there's around 40 kernels in a row, and there's 18 rows, so that's around 720 kernels. And you got that just by sowing one seed. So God has set up things in this earth that we need to understand how things work and the power that's in the idea of seed time and harvest and how that flows and how that works in our life. And it's very important that we tap into this. So the first point I want to look at is the idea of seed power. You know, seed power. You know, basically it's in the genetics, right? Now, I'm not going to go into all this part, but, you know, in our country and around the world, millions upon millions upon millions of dollars are spent every year trying to improve God's creation. And some have. They've made it bigger. Like, you know, when I was a little boy, little feller, you know, 80 bushels to the acre, man, we were rocking it. You know what I mean? Because we have, out here in southern Iowa, it's not all black dirt, you know, very deep sometimes, especially on some of those little hills, there's a lot of clay. Well, as time processed on, and you put a little anhydrous on that clay down inside, well, all of a sudden, you know, we was up maybe over 100 bushel to the acre. And then I noticed there's at home, and my parents both passed away, but Dad had a plaque that he received. And I want to say he raised 200 bushel to the acre corn once. You know, I mean, and it's, you know, when I was a kid, it was 80. So just increase. I mean, how things have changed. Now, I'll be honest, I'm not saying all that change is good. You know, we don't know what's all happening and, you know, when they modify these seeds and all that. But what I want us to see is the idea of how seeds really work and what they do. See, every seed has a predetermined plan or pre-programmed path. Now, if you sow one of these, you'll never, ever get beans. Never. A bean will not come out of this plant. You know, there will never be sunflower seeds come out of this plant. You know, you're only going to get corn. Because this seed, when it was created by God, was pre-programmed to create another ear of corn. That's what it does. That's what it was planned to do. And that's how God arranged it. So we see the idea of how God wants to replenish. Now, just think if you would only get, if you planted one kernel of corn and you got only one kernel back, that wouldn't be very good, would it? No, we wouldn't last long. We'd have been, you know, a lot of people have been dead a long time ago for lack of food, a food source. So seeds were created by God for the carrying on of a species of a plant. That's just how it worked in the Garden of Eden. If you kind of read in there what God said he was going to do, he told man to replenish the earth and repopulate, you know, and to grow and to bring more people to earth, and then told him to take care of the garden. And, you know, we see how, you know, things would start to grow and things would start to change. And then, you know, everything was starting to really start to manifest and how important that was. And these were all created by God. So seeds have a certain characteristic that are passed down, and that's why the Word of God transforms us. Now, as sure as this thing here is going to create a corn, the Word of God, when it goes in, it's going to create a Christian. It's going to create that. Because when if that seed can find good soil, when the Word of God goes into us, that's the fruit. We're going to start to manifest Christian fruit. Okay, it's supposed to come, you know, start to be part of our life. And there's power on the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:23, I think it's the first, maybe second, but anyway, it's in there somewhere in the Bible, right? It says the Word of God has divine energy on it. It has power. Amen. And so we can, you know, we can expect things to happen when we put the Word of God in our heart. We're not just doing this just for fun, even though it is kind of fun sometimes. But we're doing it because we want life change. We want God to change our life. We want God to come into our life to start to make a difference. And so what the thing is when God created everything, he put seeds in them for perpetual harvest. And we need to understand and see how we can flow with that. You know, whatever you sow, you reap, right? Whatever you sow, you reap. And that's just the way it works. And so if we're not maybe getting the right fruit in our life, maybe we're sowing the wrong seed. You know, if I want beans, I can't sow corn. I'll never get beans. I got to change what I'm sowing to get what I want. And see, that's how important it is that we start to flow with this. See, every seed has that ability to reproduce itself many times over. And primarily, seeds were made to multiply. Now, Genesis chapter 8, verse 22 is what I referred to earlier. It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Well, there's a promise set by God. What did he say? It's a law that he put in motion, just like the law of sowing and reaping we know works. And that's what this is, seed time and harvest. There's two seasons. There's a season to sow, and there's a season to reap. Okay? We have to flow with that. So, you know, this law that God has put into motion, we need to understand how it works. Now, seed time and harvest, we can flow with it or we can flow against it. Basically, in the olden days, where we didn't have supermarkets and all these things, you had to grow your food. You had to sow seeds at the right time. Now, if you went out and tried to sow, if you had this seed, and especially here in Iowa, if you went out in October, November, and planted your corn, you would have a problem. Because that corn would sprout up, and then winter hits, boom, graveyard dead. No harvest. Right? You have to sow in the spring. So you have to know when to sow. So if you were a lazy person, you would die. Simple as that. Lazy people died. Only the strong survived because they knew they had to go out and they had to sow at a certain time of year. If they wanted to sleep in, if they didn't want to do anything, they had to sow, because if they did not sow, they would never get a harvest, because that's how it works. You have to put it in the ground. You have to get it working for you. And so there are times that we need to sow, and if we do not sow, we'll never get a harvest. And that's why it's important that we put the seed in good soil. Seed needs to find soil. Everything in life, you know, we need to be on the lookout for places to sow seed. Now, not just financially, but also things in life. You're going to sow kindness in the people's life. You know, sometimes you got to know when somebody's ready to receive. Somebody has a need. Somebody's ready to be touched by God. And that's why we're led by the Holy Spirit, to be able to sow kindness into somebody's life and to be able to want to see them come to the kingdom of God, to understand what it means to be a Christian. So we need to sow that seed into their life. We need to be kind. You know, there's times we need to sow finances. You know, we need to sow those into things. And the best soil is in the kingdom of God, and that's how you reap a harvest. So we know that seed needs to find soil to be able to grow. And now we're going to look at the first point of the parable of the sower. And this is down in Matthew 13, verse 19, when Jesus had pulled his disciples to the side, and they had asked him the question, Lord, why do you speak to these guys in parables? Meaning, why do you speak to these guys in code or in mystery form? You know, and then we went into that last week. You can look at that sermon online if you want that answer. But in verse 19, it says here, it says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. Now, most of you have all probably tried to plant something before. And you probably have learned that when you throw seed out on ground that's like concrete, it's not a big successful place to do that, is it? You know, it's not going to do anything. Matter of fact, the birds come and steal it. And that's why farmers, when we used to sow grass seed, we'd have to go out in March. It's cold. And be sitting in that old cedar wagon, as before they had the big ones they have now that are all, you know, automatic. You know, I'd be back there just getting, you know, jostled around and boom, boom, you know, and trying to put the seed in the, you know, and if you messed up, you spilled the seed, well, then you get yelled at. I mean, no, I didn't get yelled at. Let's say I got corrected, you know, for making a mistake, you know, but try to sow that in that old cedar, it was an old wooden wheeled wagon, you know, I mean, this was an old we had. We got better one later on with rubber tires. That was a lot easier to ride in, but, you know, you had to sow that seed, and you put that in there, and when you threw it in there, then you harrowed over it so the birds wouldn't come and steal it, or if the rain came, it wouldn't wash away your seed. Why? Because you wanted the seed to go in the soil. And so here it's talking about the idea of, you know, about understanding. Now, we've all maybe been there, and we know somebody that's there right now that is not open to the things of God, right? You try to talk to him about Jesus, try to talk to him about Scripture, man, it's just like, you know, a big force field comes up. They have hardness in their heart. They're not going to receive it for whatever reason, so they will never understand in that form the things of God. I'm not saying they can't later, but right now it's just not happening, and it won't happen because their heart is too hardened against the things of God. So Jesus says here that we need to understand. And that word understand there in the Greek is sunemi, and it means to arrange individual facts into an organized whole, like putting a puzzle together. That probably made my wife look up. She's a puzzle putter together, a person. She likes to do that. I do not. I don't like puzzles. You know, life's puzzling enough for me the way it is to force myself to sit down there and try to put all these little things together. But so it's like putting a puzzle together and the mind being able to grasp concepts and put into right relationship together. So that's what we need to do to be able to understand the things of God. And that's how it is when we hear the Word of God preached, you know, or anything in life. We grab these thoughts, and then we start to put them together, and they start to build on each other. And all of a sudden, you have something, right? You have something when you build on these thoughts, and you start to, and really, that's the opposite of a stronghold. A stronghold does the same thing. If you have stinking thinking or wrong thinking, and you've had some things go on in your life, and you start to put these thoughts together, you know, maybe you've been cursed in your identity, maybe your heart's been broken by somebody, you've been stabbed in the back, then all of a sudden, all these information, you started to compile that and putting together, and all of a sudden, you think you're a loser, right? You don't think anything's ever going to work out for you. Why? Because all these things have come together, and now you put those in a piece, and now that's the puzzle, you see. Well, it's the same thing with the Word of God. That's how we get renewed in our mind. We start to put these pieces and these concepts together from the Bible, and we start to see ourselves in a different light because we can put those things together and we start to see the change. You know, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not below. You know what I mean? All these things, you start to put them together and they start to function and start to flow in your life. And that's important that we understand. But we're talking about a person here that can't do that. You know, and so as well as we need to build on them, but what happens here is sometimes people that don't understand, it means they don't take it seriously. You know, sometimes if we just casually, nonchalant, the Bible, you know. You want to read the Bible today? You know, I'm trying to get the young people in the youth group, read the Bible, you know, a day or two. I mean, every day if you can, but I'd shoot for 3 times a week. Too busy. I said, it's 5 minutes. I can hook you up with a 5-minute devotional. To them, it's nothing. So that's why they are what they are. Because you get what you get. Right? Until you change your input, you're still going to get the same output. You got to change input to get a different output. So a hardened heart will lead to spiritual stupidity. Simple as that. Because the God of this world has blinded the eyes and the heart, and it's hardened the hearts of people in this world, and that's what he tries to do. He tries to put us in positions that to bring destruction to our lives, and we have loved ones walking this way right now. We used to be that way, at least I did. But then, you know, there's still hope. Don't get me wrong, there's hope. As long as we have breath, there's hope, right? As long as, you know, we keep praying that God will change it, because what happens, you know, when we have spiritual stupidity and don't understand, you know, the old saying, in one ear and out the other. You know, there's a lot of information, you know, that we just don't take seriously. I remember stuff in high school. You know, I knew what I wanted to be. And so anything that didn't feed that, I thought was waste of my time. You know, I considered myself kind of a racist back when I was in school, because I didn't like algebra. I didn't think numbers and letters should ever be in the same equation. You know what I'm saying? I just thought that was the most ridiculous thing, and why would that even be necessary? Now that I'm older, I can see it is kind of necessary, you know, for certain applications. You know, like I've said before, if you're trying to figure the difference between a round pizza and a square pizza, which one gives you more, you know? Well, if I had paid attention in algebra, I could have probably figured some of that out a lot easier. You know, I'd ask for help. But, you know, the idea of when we let the Word of God come in one ear and out the other, then it's not going to help us. So sometimes it's message sent, but it's message not received because we're just not paying attention. And also what it is which hits a little harder, is the fact that sometimes it's a lack of respect for the sower. If we think the person's speaking and we don't respect them, then we're not going to receive what they say. And is that true? I think that's a truth. We can easily explain this between, you know, difference between Democrat and Republican. I'm not going to explain it all here today because I don't want to get lynched. I think everybody here would be all right, but you know, the idea of why they look at things so different. Like some people, if you're a Republican and somebody and a Democrat speak, you won't listen to them. You just tune them out. You've already preconceived what they're going to say. Same way the other way around. See, because we preconceive what this person's going to say. And sometimes when we preconceive the idea and we don't respect the sower is the one who's sowing the words, you know, then, you know, we're going to miss out. Miss out on maybe what they're going to say. Now, Jesus here said people's hearts were like a road, beat down very hard. And, you know, the sower, he took a chance, right? I mean, knew it probably wouldn't grow, but he took a chance on that road. Jesus is going to take a chance on a hardened heart. He has so much faith. He just wants to see people come into the kingdom. He wants the Word of God to go into our hearts so we can receive it. So our lives can be changed and we can live a life to bring glory to Him. So He's going to keep sowing and we should never give up. See, I remember times in my life, you know, God sowing seed in my life. You know, but at that time, my heart wasn't ready. I can picture several of them right now. You know, somebody speaking the Word of God in my life. And the call of the world was just too strong. I just didn't want it right now. I wasn't ready to give up yet. And so, you know, he'll keep sowing. And, you know, even though I wasn't ready, you know, God didn't give up on me. He just wanted to see me come into the kingdom of God because He knew the plans. He knows the plans that's for our life because, you know, I had some preconceived ideas that were bad. You know, I had a preconceived idea about God. I was wrong. Just wrong. And to be honest, I had preconceived ideas about church. I didn't really go to church, but I thought I knew what it was. And I was wrong. Because I was locked into this mindset of what I thought was true. Because of hardness in my heart. Because of hurt. Because of things that had happened in my life. And it put me in a place where I couldn't receive. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you've been hurt. I want you to know there's hope. Amen. There's hope. And that God still loves us, no matter if we're doing it wrong. He wants us to come into the kingdom. He wants our lives to be changed. So just hang in there because, you know, I had my own version of Christianity, and that was keeping me from the truth. So what are some things that you and I can go through in life that hardens our heart? Or what causes us to have a hardened heart? Well, number one, maybe rebellion. Rebellion. Meaning we reject authority in our life. How many love to be told what to do? I mean, you thrive on it. I mean, here, tell me what to do. I'll do anything. Just tell me. You know, we get that attitude that no one's going to tell me what to do, right? Nobody's going to tell me. You can't tell me that. You know, I'm not going to do it. See, we have an issue with this in our country. Rebellion can be a good thing. I mean, we rebelled against England. I mean, I think that was a great idea. You know, anyway. But with that comes that spirit into our country. You know, so we're kind of built on rebellion here. That's the seed that was sown. And that was the fruit that became shown, right? We rebelled and we went away. So we need to be careful, you know, of that. You know, in life, you know, understanding, you know, now what I see looking backwards, I can see that, yeah, rebellion was good, but it's not a great thing because it leads me away from God. Number two, something that happens that hardens our heart would be bitterness. Bitterness. We allow hurt to control our responses. How many could have had bitterness in their life? Maybe somebody's wronged you. Maybe people, you know, life hasn't been fair. You know, you don't feel that you are getting what you justly deserve. And then we get bitter about it. And that bitterness because, you know, and then we look at other people and they're just smiling all the time and they have the stuff that I want. And then we get bitter about it. And what that does, it just hardens our heart from receiving. So really, when we get bitter, all the bad things that's happened, it just makes them multiply in our life, just like seed multiplies. So bitterness can be something that we have to be careful about. Third thing, I didn't write them all down. I just went for a few. Self-centeredness. Have you ever had that problem? I think we all have. Me, myself, and I deal. You know, when we think it's all about us, You know, me, myself, and I. We look at the world about when we look at the world around us or any situation or any relationship, we just think it's all about us. We should get the best and forget the rest. You know what I'm saying? You know, I want this, and I, you know, it's mine. You know, I deserve this, so I should get it. I should get it for free. You know, we get self-centered, and then we lock on to that. Another one that's kind of dangerous, and this is one that's more probably common, is a seared conscience. A seared conscience. When we ignore the conviction of the Holy Spirit to deal with sin in our life, you know that icky feeling that you get when you do something wrong? Maybe you never get that. I do. You know, when I've done something wrong or said something wrong, I get that icky feeling in there. Well, that's kind of the Holy Ghost touching my conscience, letting me know that, hey, I did something wrong, and I need to make it right. But, you know, if I keep ignoring that, then my conscience gets seared where that feeling, it doesn't move me anymore. I've hardened myself to that. And when that happens, that's danger. That's danger. Because then, you know, we've rejected the leading of the Holy Spirit, and that's something we need to be careful. Lastly, I just want to touch on is pride. Sometimes pride can harden our heart. Kind of like the Pharisees. Remember them guys? You know, they thought they were something, weren't they? See, they were so full of themselves that they were blind spiritually. They thought that because they prayed in public and they did, you know, all the stuff that they did, that, you know, they were so much better than everybody else. So they got prideful, and that hardened their heart. I mean, could you imagine? Jesus Christ himself, the Word of God, was standing there speaking to you, and you dismissed it. Just dismissed it. Because you thought you knew more than he did. I mean, knowing more than God. Think about that for a minute. That's pride. That's delusion, right? So we need to be careful that we won't get filled up with those things, because they can lead us to death in our life and the problems that come along after that. Because those were just a few things that hardened our heart. Now, how do we find hope? Hope for the hardened heart. These are so simple that anybody can do it. Number one, first we need to repent. That's simple, isn't it? We just need to repent. See, even though you've been hurt, even though people have spoke evil of you and done bad things in your life, and you hardened your heart, it's still sin on your part to harden your heart. That's hard for us to understand. We think, well, them other guys need to repent, not me. No, we need to also. Because repentance is what will lead us out of the problem. It'll get us away from that hardened heart of sin. And it's the only way we can get sin out of our life that's holding us back. You know, I remember a guy, acquaintance of mine I used to know, he wrote a little book that said, you don't have to be wrong to repent. You know, sometimes we just need to repent, even though we think we're right. How many here is 100% right all the time? Come on now. None of us. See, my wife, see? I thought you had to teach this week. No. Anyway, that was just for example. Anyway, so, but you know, 99 ain't bad. I'm just kidding. 99 out of 100, who'd settle for that? Praise God. So, what we have to do is when we repent, we have to ask God to take that heart of stone and give us a new heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36:26 says, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. See, that's what we need to pray. If we're in a place in our life where our heart is this hardened, or maybe you know somebody that's really resisting God and their heart is so hardened, they're just bitter and negative all the time, just pray that God will give them a new heart. Just say, God, take that heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. You know, take that out of their life, you know, and keep praying for them and see that God's going to move, because, you know, because once we repent, also we need to let go of it, right? When you repent of something, you just got to let it go. Can't keep digging it up, you know, and just let God have it. See, God will not hold our past against us, and we should not hold our past against ourselves, right? You know, when I first got saved, yeah, sometimes it was a little, you know, dicey on some thinking areas, you know, I wasn't really sure on a few things. But as I put the Word of God into my life, line upon line, precept upon precept, just like building a brick wall, brick here, brick there, all of a sudden I had something. I could understand. So we shouldn't hold our past against ourselves. None of us are perfect. We've all made big mistakes. You know, and when we repent, you know, change directions, that's what repentance is. If we're going this direction and we repent, you know, we head the other direction. Once we do that, we just leave that other stuff back there. Nothing. And like I've always said, you know, when my wife, you know, we started to, as you kids call it, talking. We called it dating back then, but we were talking to each other, and she would ask me questions about my life, you know, and I wasn't really too keen to talk about it in the beginning, but after a while, God got it into me so strong that is like I was telling about somebody else, and you've heard me share this before, and as God is my witness, that's just how it is. When I talk about the old Brad Gray, I mean, it's like I'm talking about a guy that's not even my friend anymore. I mean, it's just like I'm talking about somebody else. It's not me anymore. And that's what we need to get to in our life, is that old life, it's just not us anymore. It's just, we can maybe tell the stories about it, but it has no bearing. I have no feeling of pain or guilt or remorse anymore, because Jesus Christ took that from me. And now I'm free. And we need to see that. We need to see that in our life so that we can walk free. Now here's one kind of a revelation I got from the other night in the Wednesday night classes. And it hit me upside the head, really. And it's kind of good, I think. I don't oversell it here in case it's not good for you. But we need to yield to God's sovereignty, the sovereignty of God. Now, how many remember this old saying when you were a kid? You walked up to mom or dad and you asked them a question. And instead of explaining things to you, all they said was, "Because I said so." How did that make you feel? I don't know about you. I got more rebellious. Because that didn't satisfy me. I asked them a valid question that I thought was important to me, and they just dismissed it. And instead of giving me the answer that I required, they just said, "Because I said so." Well, how many of you are parents now and have played that same card, right? Your kids come up and ask you a question, and you being the all-knowing parent, because you have all this experience in life, I'm not lying now, we have experience as you get older. So all you have to say to your kid is, "Because I said so." And that's the gospel right there. I don't know. But what does that come down to? To me, when we say that, you know, I know we're fallible, but with God, you know, He's unfallible. And it boils down to this. It's a question about authority. It's a question about authority. This is something we rebellious people love to hear about, right? But it comes down to, who is the I to me saying so? Now, do we think that person in authority over me has my best interest in mind? That's a question you need to think about. Does the person who's in authority that's saying, "Because I said so," do they have my best interests in mind? And see, when we respect someone's authority, we will obey them without question because we believe that they have our best interests in mind. Now, to be honest, most parents love their kids, right? As a rule. We all love them. And so when I said so, because I said so, it's to keep them out of pain and trouble. I have the best interests in mind. Why? Because I've been through it. I know. I can see the big picture. I understand the puzzle pieces are all put together for me because I've experienced it already. I'm not saying I'm all-knowing, but I do know this because I've been there. I did that. Well, let's put that into perspective about God. When God says, because I said so, are we going to obey him? Do we believe that God has our best interests in mind when he says so in the Word? You know, when God says, don't do this, well, why not? I want to. God said, because I said so. Now, sometimes he does explain himself, but not all the time. Sometimes it all boils down to this, people. It's a sovereignty question. Do we respect God's authority? Because God said so, are we going to believe it and do it? That'll get us out of hardness of heart. Remember, hardness of heart has rebellion, has all these things in there, don't want to be told what to do. But if we want to fix that, then we're going to have to come to the place where we see God as who he really is. He's the sovereign ruler of the universe. He sees the whole picture. Matter of fact, he sees the picture even before he created it. He's all-knowing. So how can we struggle with believing and trusting what he says? When God tells us not to do certain things, it's to spare us pain. It's to spare us humility. You know, things that happen. And so we need to trust him because he said so. And we obey him without question because we know that he loves us and we love him. See, God is so all-knowing. I've said this before that, you know, you and I, we could probably go buy an apple today. We cut that baby open and we count every seed in there. I bet we get it right every time. Because we can count the number of seeds in an apple. But only God can count the number of apples in a seed. When I look at that seed, I have no clue how many apples are going to come from that seed. We plant that seed, and a tree comes up, produces hundreds of apples over years. Just think about how many apples. But God knows. So why not trust him? Why not trust his word for our life? When God tells us not to be involved in certain things or to get involved in other things, why not trust him? He loves us. He wants that hardened heart to be melted because he knows there's so many good things that he wants to do through us. Lastly, and this kind of ties in with that last one, is we need to allow ourselves to be broken. How many love to be broken? You know, I remember when I first got saved, I was kind of a chauvinist. I ain't gonna lie to you. I mean, I had some pretty wild thoughts about me being better than other people and me, you know, as a man and all this stuff. And I remember writing one of my aunts. I'd been on a trip to Europe. It's right before I got saved. I got saved when I got home. And I just remembered, you know, like you see the statue of David and all that started with a rock. And little by little, the master broke pieces off until all of a sudden something was there. Well, see, that's like it with your and my relationship with God. When we first come to God, we're like a rock. But then if we allow God, the master builder, the master craftsman, to take our life and he starts chiseling stuff off, boom, getting rid of stuff in our life that we don't need, and all of a sudden, what emerges is this beautiful statue to give glory to his name. But it only comes by allowing ourselves to be broken. But sometimes, you know, like this dirt along the road, you know, was very hard. And something had to be dealt with it. I remember as a little boy, I would go with my dad. That's when we had little tractors, you know what I'm saying? No cabs. And I remember one of them might have been a two-bottom plow or maybe three. I think it's a two-bottom plow. What that means is there's only two shovels that would turn dirt. So it took a lot of trips going back and forth. But you go in that, you know, I remember, you know, turning regular dirt was kind of cool, but the funnest that I enjoyed was when we turned sod. Stuff that had been grass for years and been packed down animals have been on it, you know, it's just packed tight. And if you tried to sow seed on that hardened dirt, it would never grow. Well, we'd go through that field, and as we went, them old plow blades would take that sod, and they would dig down about 8 to 10 inches, and they would just flip the dirt over. And then what was left was the black dirt sticking on the top. Now, you can do something with that. You know, where you couldn't grow nothing in that sod, the seed wouldn't penetrate the dirt or get down through, but now it's been turned over. So now what happens then is we would wait for a little rain to mellow that dirt out a little bit, and then we would disc it a time or two, and then it's ready for seed. So it took that hardened dirt and it turned into something that can be planted in. And that's what we want for our lives. That's what we want for the lives of our loved ones. That we want to have dirt that can be, you know, used to be able to grow, so we can be able to get the things, you know, that we want. And it's so important that we allow God to come into our life to maybe straighten those things out. Because God wants us to be able to grow fruit for the kingdom of God. And one of the things that we need to do in closing is the fact that, you know, the Word of God needs to be hidden in our heart, not just left on the bare ground. So it's because it's really precious. One thing we can write down, I don't want you to mark this down, the Word works if we let it. The Word works if we let it. It will always work.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. That seed. Amen. That seed has been pre-programmed by God. It has a predestined path.
Thank you.
And when we get it into our heart, then things are going to change. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's close in prayer.